This is a production of Cornell University.
This is the, I believe, fourth GPSA meeting on October 15th at 5, a little after 5:30. And we'll go ahead and get started with the introduction of voting members and the roll call. So Alex Black.
Here.
Awesome. Mia is not here. Trevaney. Great. Thanks, Bill. Eric?
Yep.
Giovanna?
Here.
Jonathan?
Here.
Liz?
Here.
I'm here. Nicole?
Here.
Alex?
Here.
Jennifer?
Here.
Awesome. Matt? Awesome. Thanks, Matt. Jiating is excused. Rob is also not coming. Eric Rager? All right. Han?
Here.
Drew? Drew here? No? And Monet, who is our new Johnson School voting member. Thank you. You're welcome. Thanks, Evan. So we're first going to, on our agenda tonight, first going to talk about housing. It's going to be our topic for discussion today, and we're doing it here at the beginning of the agenda instead of the end, so no one can leave without hearing the new and old business, for sure. So we're gonna break this up into two components, one on on-campus housing, which we have some visitors here to tell you more about, and then a little bit on off-campus housing. And these aren't, you know, apples-to-apples comparisons, but they're two topics that are very important to grad and professional students, and they're also a big piece of our graduate community initiative. So what we're going to do in our breakout discussion is have note takers, thanks to a few people who I have volunteered, and then we'll collect that information to be part of the GCI process. So I hope the discussion is a good one. So I first want to introduce the people that we have joining us. Linda Majani is interim graduate residence manager for Hasbrook Thurston Corton Hughes. She's going to be coming to, I think, all of our meetings, so you'll see her quite a bunch. And you want to wave your hand? Yeah. And then Susan Riley is the associate director for residential programs, and Marty Rocker, who has come before, is the director of Campus Life Enterprise. And he's also working on the space utilization study, which we'll get to later in the agenda. And then in terms of off-campus housing, Denise Thompson is part of a small group, and hopefully will get bigger someday, that is in the Dean of Students Office of Fraternity, Sorority, and Independent Living. And she and Julie Page deal with off-campus housing, essentially. And so Denise is here to help us. And then I have another hat that I wear. I don't need to introduce myself, but I'm also the co-chair of the city's Rental Housing Advisory Commission. So after we have a couple presentations, we're going to then get out into the breakout sessions, and two of the on-campus housing guests and myself and Denise will facilitate the breakout sessions. So that's kind of how it's going to work. So first we're going to hear from one of the on-campus housing folks. I'm not sure who. So Linda's it, I guess? Yeah, please do. So we're going to hear first from Linda about on-campus housing.
So there's not really much to talk about. We have about 800 students, and just right there you see the problem that we have. We don't have like 6,000 students at Cornell, but we have four main complexes. We have Hasbrook, which houses 367 students. Those are the contract holders, and within that we have single students, we have families, we have visiting scholars. At Maplewood, we have 362 contract holders. So we have 20, and that's single students only. And at Hughes, which is mainly for the, not mainly, it is for the law students, we have 46. The diversity there, the representation, at Hasbrook, we have residents, so we have students from 21 countries. At Maplewood, we have students from 31 countries. So what we do as residential programs, we just facilitate, you know, their life there. We get programs for them that support both the residents and their family members. In Hansbrook, mainly, we'll get programs for the students, we'll get programs for their spouses, and get other programs for their children. So that's mostly what we're responsible for, and just ensuring they're fine and liaising with other departments just to make sure that they're safe on.
And I think we've estimated that about 12% of graduate and professional students live in quote-unquote on-campus housing. So it's a small number. Just out of curiosity, how many of you here currently live or have lived in on-campus housing? Small number. That might not fill two breakout sessions, but we'll see. great. Awesome. Thanks, Linda. Are there any questions for Linda before we move on to Denise? Great. All right, Denise, you are up.
Hello, my name is Denise Thompson, and I work in on-campus housing. I may have met with me when you were coming here to Cornell. Our office is located in Miller Street Hall, where I was a dean of students. I have walk-in hours to speak from 2 to 4, and then I will schedule other appointments with myself and peer advisors. Our peer advisors aren't necessarily your peers, they're undergraduate students, so they are helpful. And then within our office, we have lots of resources. We go through the New York State Tenants' Rights Guide, which is that the legal law that is there to protect you as tenants. We will review your lease with you. We'll review your lease. We'll use the tenant's rights guide. We have a different checklist. We have a signing checklist. We have a move-in without inspection checklist. We also have you come in if you have issues. We can talk about it. We can talk about how to speak to your landlord, how to work with your landlord, if you need other resources, such as specific building departments, the police department, other groups that you might need to work with, and can help give you some advice and some guidance there from both where you move in, move in, and move out. Please come see us, okay?
You had one more slide. Is this kind of...
Oh, yeah, that's what a lot of... We also have, many of you probably do get in my bi-weekly newsletter, which the reason why you get it and you get to sign up for it is because it's Registrar's office will give us a list of all students who are current at Cornell University and do not have housing contracts. We kind of get automatically signed up for it. So you can always reply back to my email and say you want to be off, or you can just click the email at the bottom of the link and request that I'm joining the group. We try to put things in there that is helpful and useful to all students, not just undergraduates. And then if I don't think we have it there, but the apartment search listing site. Also, if you as a student who has signed 12-month lease and then you need to go somewhere else, we have a website that you can list for free as a Cornell student, your listing, even your sublet, or if your landlord is going to let you try to terminate your lease and you have to find someone to just fulfill your status with the lease of primary lease. Okay?
Great, thanks. And if I can just add on to that, so the Rental Housing Advisory Commission for the city kind of advises the city council and the mayor on various rental housing issues. Some of you might not know, but about 70% of all of the housing stock in Ithaca is rental housing, which is substantially higher than most communities. And as you probably are well aware of, prices in Ithaca are pretty high for rent. It's very high given the quality and given the location. And so there's a number of factors that play into that. And I'm sure that as we go through the discussion, some of the issues that you might have with housing are likely about cost. And so there's different ways to deal with that. And largely that's a function of the fact that in most communities there's what's called a vacancy rate that they calculate. And usually a healthy vacancy rate is about, at any one time, about 10% of rental units are unoccupied, and the landlords are searching for a tenant. And in Ithaca, it's in College Town, it's about 0.5%. And in the rest of the city, it's as high as 3%. So it's a very, very competitive market, and that's why it's really difficult to find, you know, cheap places, or and it's very easy for landlords to find tenants. And so because of that, there are a lot of issues that come up, and some of the issues that you may experience with your landlord might be because of that kind of factor. So what we're going to do, what we had thought we were going to do, is have two groups on-campus housing, which, given the relatively small number of folks that have lived or do live in on-campus housing, I think we might just merge that into one. And anyone who's interested in joining that discussion to maybe talk about why didn't you live in on-campus housing if you looked at it. For example, I looked at it when I came, and I didn't know much about it. It looked a little more expensive, and I wasn't sure. So if you want to contribute part of that to the discussion about on-campus housing, please do. And then we'll have two groups that will talk about off-campus housing, talk about your different issues that you have if you live off-campus. And Denise and myself will kind of facilitate that, and then we'll again have note takers. And we'll put this as part of the graduate community initiative process. And so as we move forward into the breakout discussions, I want us to think about these questions and these issues that come up. So, you know, what are some good and bad experiences that you've had? If you live on campus, what do you like about it? What do you not like about it? What do you wish was different? Offer those as suggestions. It will be helpful for both the folks here that are from residential programs, and it will be helpful just to hear that discussion. And then, you know, what do you perceive, because we're all smart grad students here, what do you think are some broader issues in housing, whether it's off-campus or on-campus, that you think affects grad and professional students? And then what do you think can be done, if you have any ideas? Perhaps you've lived in another community where things have been done proactively, or you just have ideas, because, again, we're all smart grad students. What can be done? And I think this is important when we make that GCI document in the end, to have some recommendations. This is really going to go to highlight some of those issues. And then, you know, for the on-campus part, why do you or don't you live in on-campus housing? What are the reasons why you chose not to? So why don't we break out into we can have the on-campus housing folks stay in this area, and we'll have one group of off-campus housing discussion here and then over here. And we have, I believe, about 30 minutes to really talk about it and go through some of the issues. So I'm going to go ahead and break out, and then we'll reconvene in 30 minutes. All right, thank you all for doing that. I hope that was productive. We'll try to have a couple more of these. I'd like to have another one about transportation. I know in our group in the middle, transportation came up as an issue with living far away from campus, and I imagine in the other discussions it did too. So that will be another good breakout session. I think we're planning to do that at the November 12th, I believe. Could be wrong on that. But we'll look forward to that, and come and talk with people from TCAT and talk with people in parking. They'll be interested. Yeah. They'll be in a glass box. Great. And thank you to our visitors for coming. We appreciate that. So moving on to the rest of our agenda, you all should have received the minutes last Friday, I believe. Is there any amendments to the minutes? Great. Seeing none. Minutes are approved.
Wait, no.
Yeah?
There are amendments? Are there objections to approving?
Thank you. Are there objections to approving the minutes? Great. Seeing no objections, minutes are approved. Thanks.
Okay. Got to keep you in order.
Yeah, thank you. So in terms of the executive committee, I don't have much. I just wanted to make a quick, I guess, information, please. I was contacted by someone from the Right to Research Council, which some of you may know about. It's kind of a broader coalition that's focused on open access research. And the GPSA isn't too focused on anything academic, so it's not of particular concern GBSA, but if anyone's interested in getting involved in some of the open access advocacy that's being done, that's just basically making sure that journals are continued to be affordable or free to libraries and that research is available to graduate and professional students. So if anyone's interested in learning more about that or getting more involved, come talk to me. And we'll have more about that. There's some open access week, I think next week, and so there might be something on campus about it for you to learn more. But if you're interested, come talk to me. And I know Eric has something else.
Oh, yeah. We still have committees that need to be filled. One of those lines up there actually no longer needs to be filled. We did some good work, and the University Council on Mental Health and Welfare has been filled, but we still have some interesting things. Like Big Red Barn Advisory Board, Family Work-Life Advisory Board. So let me know, again, if you're interested in getting more involved with any of these things.
Great, thanks. Nicole, do you have anything?
Nope.
Awesome, thanks. Bill, for appropriations, do you have anything?
No. If you bought anything, you can receive in, so I can take care of those. And we'll be starting the process for next year's Byline funding cycle. We're up here and currently just being among students. And so if you're interested in getting involved with that process, let me know. So you can get you on the appropriations committee.
Awesome. Thanks, Bill. I know Marcus had to run out, but if anyone has anything for the Buzz listserv, email Marcus or myself, and we'll make sure it gets in there. It's our biweekly grad newsletter. Vinay, do you have anything on the Finance Commission?
The FC has actually had a busy 2 weeks. We met twice since our last meeting here, and approved over 70 budget requests. So if your group applied before September 28th, that money, the allocation should be available this coming week. So keep an eye out on the online system where you apply for your annual budget. As well, if you apply for SDRs, those funds should now be available to you. If you haven't heard from me and you've applied for an SDR before September 28th, please send me an email. But I should have sent emails out to all of you or your groups. Treasurers before, I guess, the ones who applied before September 28th should have heard from me. Those who applied after September 28th will be considered at our next meeting on November 1st.
Great. Thanks, Nick. Anything from the Grad and Professional Student Programming Board?
We have our inter-school mixers is coming Thursday. It's the law school and the physical sciences, so I printed some very bio. So if you can please take this and post in other departments, that would be nice. And everybody's welcome, so it's necessarily have to be law school and physical sciences, but those are the two groups where we're putting more emphasis on. So, it's also something very nice next Friday, and I have an industry team. Saturday, I'm going to be working with something new on. So, anyway,
great, thanks. And you have Jenny? Great, thank you, Beth. Do you have Jenny? You're up.
Okay. So we had our first student advocacy meeting, and it was a pretty good meeting. So we're planning a town hall meeting for graduate and professional students. Actually, if you'll have some information here, what we really want to do is have a team forum about the general student issues and concerns. Instead of logistics, we actually reserved the Willard Strait Hall Memorial Room, and we're planning it to be on Thursday, November 15th from 7 to 9 p.m. What we hope to do is have some student academic leaders discuss some information about their different themes, and just have students come out and just voice things that are important to them. But for that, we need your help. So we want to figure out what are the themes that we think students that we care most about, what would actually get them to come out to an open forum and talk and tell us what they want to do for the year. And kind of our general goals are really to figure out the top priorities for student advocacy community going forward and to guide a more intimate dinner discussion in the spring, but also to create a space where students know they can come and voice their concerns. It's not just keep you safe, it's just something that's wide open. They can come and learn a little about the school resources, but also tell us what they want us to do. So we are organizing a breakout session, the next GPSA meeting, where members of the student advocacy community will come by. And these guys come up strongly based on your general field. So we hope you can go back to your department and talk to your colleagues, other students in the department, and see what themes they care about. What do you want us to bring up at this meeting? And I think 4 to 5 themes that we introduce for about 20 to 30 minutes, let students talk about issues and those that themes. Some ideas are kind of just general things. We talk about inclusion, for example, what can Cornell do to make you feel more included, especially with some issues going on campus. Our graduate students getting enough information about how they can feel safe and included in all the stuff that's going on. Community, are there adequate spaces for interaction? We definitely could talk about health again. Are there barriers to good mental and physical health? So really, and then what do we really want to bring students out? What do they care most about? So please talk to the department, and we'll be here on the next GPSA meeting for a 15-minute breakout session. And then, if you're interested in getting involved in student advocacy, we still have room for more committee members. And the next meeting will be Thursday, October 25th, from 5 to 6 p.m. in the Physical Science Building, Room 201. So you can either come by or email me interested, and my email's up there. Thanks.
Great, thanks, Evgeny. Awesome. Now we'll move on to old business. At our last GPSA meeting 3 weeks ago, we discussed Resolution 6, and Vinay introduced us to that, and that deals with changes to the Finance Commission funding appeals process. So you all should have those or have seen those changes, and these are some of these changes that were in the resolution. So if they're we'll now open this up. So what we're going to do today is actually take a vote on it. And so if there are any amendments or discussion on this, this would be the time to have them. So with that, we'll open Resolution 6 up for discussion. Anyone who would like to comment? Please, Evan.
I realize that the question I was just answering Derek asked probably might be presented to more people. Basically, the change in language reflects the way the GPSAFC has been handling these sorts of things for 3 or 4 years now. So it's no radical policy shift. It's no, you know, way of trying to take money away from groups or whatever. It's just to reflect the way things are actually working. I know that the FC would just love everybody read the guidelines. And so as much as we can possibly do to make the guidelines an accurate reflection of policy, and then we follow the guidelines, everybody reads the guidelines, the better it's going to be. I don't think I need to summarize the content of the resolution. Go get it.
Thanks, Evan, for your germane comments. Any other comments? Discussion on this? Nothing at all? Kat, are you in?
As someone on the Finance Committee, I can say that this will make things a lot easier for us. I think the answer was anything 3 weeks ago. It will just make this approval very simple. And, you know, or whatever the interaction between the groups are,
and it sort of respects the rights of groups who believe they've been in some way wrong. There is still a process in place for people to say, no, you're reading the guidelines wrong, no, the language doesn't say that, and there's still a system of checks and balances, but it goes all the way back to the full assembly if necessary.
Great. Any further questions? You can. Okay. Great. Is there any opposition to calling the question? Great. We will move on to vote on this resolution, number 6, which changes the GPSA funding, SC funding guidelines. So all those with green placards, please raise them if you're in support. Resolution 6. Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Any opposed? Great. Resolution passes 14 to 0. Thanks. Janae, you have changed funding guidelines. Great. We'll move on to the new business. Our first item in this category is approval of edits to the Graduate and Professional Student Programming Board charter. Kristen or Giovanna, do you want to speak to those changes real quick?
So basically the changes we made was the charter said that there has to be a maximum of 10 people in the GCSA programming board. So we're going to change it to there should be no maximum. Like the more people we have, the better. Also, it said that there has to be like 4 people have to continue in the GPSA program for the next year so that there's some continuity. So we changed instead of 4 to 2. With 2, I think it's good. This year we have 2 people, but like, there's more than 4 people. Yeah, it's hard to get, and I think 2 would be like, you know, okay. Also, we changed because it has been very hard to have like a vice chair of communication, and that person has to do a lot of things. So we changed it by saying that they were going to keep the minutes of every GCSA program board meeting, and they manage a minister and oversee and delegate tasks for advertising and like. There's going to be always somebody in charge of every activity we do, but that person is not the same person for every activity because doing all the slides and things takes a lot of time. So we want a person in charge, but maybe somebody that reminds the person in charge to remember that they have to send a flyer and things like that. And yeah, those were the changes we made.
Great, thanks. Anything to add, Kristen? Okay. Great, thanks. So that being said, is there any discussion on Resolution 7? Evan, please.
I have some small things, if I may. I probably shouldn't know that. One is a question of nomenclature. So the resolution is called approving the charter. Then line 3 says it amends the bylaws. Then 10 is again the charter. And if you look at the document, it's called the Constitution. I wonder if I might suggest the high quality of GCSA governing documents has been one of mine. Anyway, it might be a great idea to refer to it as the charter throughout. So I don't know if that requires an amendment in this document to change the first line of the charter from the Constitution to charter. But it probably is not a bad idea on line 3 to at least change it to say that the charter be amended. Probably should be a verb in there too. Anyway, that's an issue. The other thing that I would say is line 10 says that the charter be adopted for the 2012-2013 term. So I would suggest that the charter as a basic governing document should be adopted indefinitely, and then there's a provision for amendment that is covered in the document. Line 10 implies that it needs to be readopted every year, which means passing another resolution and so on and so forth. I don't think that's necessary. That's what we do internally with our bylaws, but we don't do it internally with the charter. The charter is the overarching document that is adopted indefinitely. So those would be my two suggestions. I'm not clear whether I can offer amendments, but the amendments would be as follows. Line 3, strike bylaws, insert charter is. Line 10, change it to that the charter be adopted.
Would someone like to make that?
So moved.
Great, thank you, Nicole.
You need a second.
So this, yeah, is there a second? I'm sorry. Thank you. Great, thanks, Giovanna. All right, so this is the, let's track changes here.
I guess this would be sort of a point of information.
Please.
A little bit. But since I was the person that originally wrote the document, it's my vague recollection that the
SA, like when you register your organization with the Student Activities Office, it is usually referred to as a constitution in terms of how they ask you to submit that governing document.
That's true.
So that's why I think this document is titled that. And I don't know if it, but we do within the GTSA, like within our use of bylaws, refer to it as the charter. I don't know if there is any issue with having those being consistent, at least amongst each other.
With the, so this is the SAO form. The GTSA fills out that same form. It asks for a constitution. We upload the charter. It's never been an issue that it's called a charter.
Okay.
I don't, for the record, I don't care what it's called, just so long as we call it one thing. Because, well, anyway.
Okay, so now we're discussing this amendment as I've typed in here. That line 3 is changed to read that the charter is amended, and that line 10 has taken out for the 2012-2013 GPSA term. So is there a discussion on this amendment? Christine, I know you had your hand up.
I have another small one.
Okay, well, we'll get to that when we deal with this one. Is there any other discussion on this amendment? Great, seeing none, is anyone opposed to amending the document as written? Great. Thank you. We'll consider that amended. Now, Christine.
Sorry, it's a small thing. On line 8, this term is one more reason.
Okay. Do you want to propose that? Is there any objection to making that change? Great. We'll do that.
I've never understood that spelling.
I never had it either. Okay, so now we're back to discussing this whole Resolution 7 as it stands. Is there any discussion on Resolution 7? Yeah, please.
This is another 7 for my grammatic type, but
that's okay.
I think an ever more reasonable word that's clear, like an element that came up, but technically, programming technologies is the E dash the S of the email.
Sure. I don't know if Kristen or Giovanna wants to comment on that. I mean, I think listserv is generic enough that if Cornell changes, my opinion is the listserv is a generic enough term that if there is any change, if Cornell decides to call it something else, that this would still encompass that. So you're welcome to propose that as an amendment. We can discuss it, but okay, great. Yeah, Bill.
Chart. It's been amended.
But it hasn't actually been amended.
Well, technically, the document itself is
yes.
The
right.
Constitution. We should possibly propose an amendment.
I was
wondering
if it was necessary to add that line there for getting rid of the national.
It's within the membership section, so it does specify like where members can come from. And
yeah. So I think.
Want me to read it out?
Evan, go ahead.
So the section is, membership shall consist of two types of members. One is general member. Any graduate or professional student is eligible to apply to become a member. Applicants will be reviewed and staffed by Office of Staffing in accordance with the GPSA charter. There will be no maximum 4 available positions on the GPSCB. 6 positions will be for 1-year terms starting in September. At least 2 positions will be for staying 2-year terms. So there can be as many members as you want, not a maximum of 10, and only 2 of these positions need to overlap, not 4.
Yeah.
I think that,
thank you. Eric, yeah.
I was going to say, I think it's good to leave that in there, no maximum 4, because it removes the ambiguity of, well, you know.
Is there any further discussion on this resolution? Great. Is there any opposition to any discussion? Seeing none. We'll do that. We'll go ahead and vote on the resolution as it's been amended. All those in favor with green placards, please raise them for passage of Resolution 7. Great. Any opposed? Fantastic. Resolution 7 passes, 14-0. Thanks. All right. The next is Resolution 8. As you remember from our last meeting, we had a presentation from Mary Lynn Cummings who discussed the space utilization study, and that's a study that's going on campus to discuss, as it were, space utilization. And so they have asked for a little bit of help from the GPSA in organizing some input sessions, I think, from graduate and professional students. And so what we suggest is that we could create a very limited ad hoc committee to help them out with that. And again, you should have received this document on Friday. But basically what I've called for is it's a representative from each of our four areas, and then a representative from the professional schools, and then Marcus, the chair of the communications committee. So it would just create
and
an ad hoc.
Member of the exec board.
Oh, yes.
Also
yes.
In there.
Yes, thank you. And so this would be a very small-time commitment, and after I suggested the membership, I said that it would just be advisory and helping communications. So that's what Resolution 8 suggests. Is there any discussion on Resolution 8? Evan?
I have a quick question, if I may.
Sure.
In the second resolve clause, it says, where one person may serve two representations in order to best facilitate the diversity of space uses among the diverse graduate and professional students. Does that mean that one person can represent both the humanities and the social sciences?
No, I was thinking that, for instance, if Nicole from the executive committee was our representative from the executive committee, she could also serve as representative from social sciences, right? Yeah. So that number 7 could also be number 2. Or if I filled it... Correct. So it was to make it so that the committee was not gigantic, if it didn't need to be.
Is it worth clarifying that point, or... you can just say no.
I would say no.
Okay. Take in a minute.
Yep. Is there any other discussion on Resolution 8? Thank you, Evan.
I was just going to add.
Yes, please.
So technically, when we vote for the creation of an ad hoc committee, that does in fact mean that we expect for people in this room to serve as members on said ad hoc committee. So when you vote, that is one of the things that you should at least take into consideration, is whether or not there are people here willing to serve in that capacity. Doesn't necessarily have to be you. I'm just saying that that's a general thought I should put out there. That being said, vote yay on our 8.
Is it? Yeah, please.
For your information, is this ad hoc committee being funded in any way by the GPSA?
No.
So is there like meetings, groups, or anything? Do you have anything to talk
to? No.
I hope it doesn't even have to meet.
Yeah, I did not put that in here.
Right.
Is there any further discussion on Resolution 8? Great.
Can I add one other point?
Yes, Nicole,
sorry.
Please.
Technically, one of the things was for each of the representative areas was that they wanted to do tours, especially of office spaces in the different departments. And so one of the roles that we would expect people in each of the areas to do is be able to contact students in your department, in your field, to help them do those tours. So it's like to facilitate actually showing them around, say, what your office space actually looks like. Like that's one of the expectations. Yeah.
I have a question. Like, how does, like, for example, the other day, the chair of our department was, like, showing off, like, the president, the vice president of the GSA, like, if we wouldn't mind that they change the offices to another room or something, is that something, like, the department decides, or is it the university? Like, could we talk with somebody who wants to change their offices, or is our department has to, you know what I mean?
So this space utilization study, the broad study, is kind of very overview focused of all of the space use on campus, but they are going to get down into the use of office space by graduate and professional students. So if there are particular concerns, those are really good for the space use committee that oversees this process to hear, because then they'll take that back to their consultant who they work with and maybe look into it further or investigate it. So it doesn't, by giving input on this or by serving on this committee and thus giving input, doesn't necessarily mean that change will happen, but it's a, again, this is kind of like a, their strategic plan for how they plan for utilizing space in the future. So again, this committee will, as Nicole said, hopefully join the consultant on tours and show them my basement office with no window that's far away from anything else. Or be able to show them the beautiful space that I have and I'd like to
keep
it.
The ping pong table. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
View.
So again, this is going to be a useful committee. So again, is there any further discussion on this committee? Han?
Yes, two things. First thing, I think the law school has its own team to charge the space for the law school itself. So I guess I'm not sure the how broad the study is to
It's definitely it's all of campus. I mean, even though the law school might have that, or the Johnson School might have that, and I'm sure they likely do. There is still an administrative campus space office of space use planning. I don't know to what extent the person in the law school reports to Mary Lynn Cummings, who joined us last time, but this study is for the whole campus, and it's everything outside of residential space.
Maybe one thing is that, let me know if I'm wrong on this, but that they're looking at current use, but they're also looking about space usage going forward. So, you know, the individual department chair or dean controls the space in their area, and that's not necessarily what this is going to affect, but if they build a new building and you know, just to throw something out there, totally pie in the sky, and they've identified graduate student office space as a priority, and that might be something that would factor into to capital planning and new construction. I think that's kind of a thing they're more interested in, rather than saying, in the music department, graduate students right. have this many square feet of office space, and we think it should be this many square feet of office space.
I would say it encompasses both. Because there is some level of administration resources that kind of help facilitate the allocation. Some colleges and departments have kind of developed more control over their space than others, but it really depends, and this study is going to capture all of that, I believe. Okay, so again, is there any further discussion? Great, seeing none, we'll move on to a vote. All those with green placards who are in favor of Resolution 8, please raise them now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Great. All opposed? Fantastic. Resolution 8 passes. Yes, 14. And you will be getting emails from me to join this ad hoc committee. Next, we will move into open forum. Is there anyone who would like to speak in open forum? Anyone at all? Great. Seeing none and seeing no further discussion, is there any opposition to adjourning? Fantastic. The meeting is adjourned.